Good morning and welcome to our worship service on this Palm Sunday. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Jesus, our King and our Savior, you have invited us to come before you to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, that our worship is pleasing to you. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and our love for you. We ask you to strengthen us today on this festive Palm Sunday and throughout this Holy Week, that all we do and say as your dear children would give glory to your name. We pray this in your name, dear Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Ride On in Majesty. The hymns and readings and the order of service is printed for you in your bulletin. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in our service bulletin. We begin on page 2. We begin this worship service on this Palm Sunday in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our sins and pray that you would be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, renew us by your Spirit, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all people might be saved from their sins. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his great humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection through faith in him. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this Palm Sunday is from the Old Testament book of the prophet Zechariah. This is actually a prophecy of the events that would happen on Palm Sunday and gives us the reason why Jesus came in such a strange way on a donkey. He came humbly in bringing salvation. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation. He is humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be taken away, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His kingdom will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth." Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth." These words from Matthew are his account of the events of Palm Sunday. Our sermon text for today will be the verses that follow this account. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, telling them, "Go to the village ahead of you. Immediately you will find a donkey tied there along with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you are to say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their outer clothing on them, and he sat on it. A very large crowd spread their outer clothing on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them out on the road. The crowds who went in front of him and those who followed kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. At this time, I'd like to invite Gary forward for his confirmation and reception into membership. Dear friends in Christ, Gary, who is here present, desires to become a member of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, being fully convinced that in this church, the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and the sacraments are administered according to their institution by Christ. And so I now ask you, Gary, in the presence of God and this congregation, do you acknowledge and confess the teachings of St. Stephen Lutheran Church to be the true and unaltered teachings of the Word of God? If so, answer by saying, "I do."
I do.
Do you therefore desire, in sincere faith and obedience to God, to be received by us into communicant membership of this congregation and of our church body, the Church of the Lutheran Confession? If so, answer by saying, "I do."
I do.
Do you intend to continue in the confession of this church, to make diligent use of the means of grace, that is, the gospel and word and sacrament, and to lead a righteous and godly life, even unto the end? If so, answer by saying, "Yes, with the help of God."
Yes, with the help of God.
And upon this, your promise, I, in the name of this congregation, give you the right hand of fellowship and Christian love, acknowledging you as a member of St. Stephen Lutheran Church and of the Church of the Lutheran Confession. I invite you to join us in the reception of the Lord's Supper and to participate in all the other blessings which God has given his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you now to please bow your head and hear the reading of the confirmation verse that you have chosen. The verse you've chosen, Gary, is Jesus' words from Luke chapter 9, verse 24, where he says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, enabling you to receive the truth of God's word, to love him and to love his people, and to do the will of God from your heart. May he keep you always in his kingdom, both now and into eternity. Amen. I invite the congregation to please rise. Dearly beloved, Gary, having become convinced that the teachings of St. Stephen Lutheran Church are in accordance with the very truth of God's holy word, has declared his conviction before this congregation and has been received as a member of our congregation. Let's join our hearts in prayer. O God of all grace, you have led Gary to believe and to confess the pure truth of the gospel. We pray that you would preserve him and strengthen him in that true faith, that he may continue steadfast unto the end, and in the end receive the crown of life. Help him, dear Savior, in his faith life to be a witness and to be a good example to his family and to all who are around him. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's now join in confessing our shared faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Peace be with you. You may be seated. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, a confirmation hymn, Christ Be My Leader. Congregation may remain seated I invite the young children from our congregation to come forward for our children's message. Come on up. You can sit right there. Good morning. As you know, today's a very special Sunday, isn't it? Do you know what we call today? What Sunday's today's name is?
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday. You brought palms and you brought them up to the front by the altar. You brought them and laid them on the entryway into church. Why did we do that? Why did we bring palms in today and lay them on the ground as we walked in? Do you remember why? Yes, he did. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they put palm branches down so he could ride on them. They were praising Jesus and waving those palm branches, sort of like you waved them when you walked into church, and they were hailing him as their king. Jesus is a very different kind of king than any other king, though, isn't he? Do you think most kings rode into cities on little donkeys? No, not even in those days. They usually rode on a big white horse or something more majestic than a little donkey. That would have looked kind of strange, seeing a grown man riding a little donkey into the city. But Jesus came to be a special kind of king. He didn't come to wear a crown with jewels and all kinds of gold. He came to wear a crown like that one on the banner up front. You see that crown over there? That's a crown of what? Not jewels and gold, but a crown of thorns. They would put that crown of thorns on his head when they crucified him on the cross. So Jesus came as a king to die for our sins, and to give us not a country or land to rule, but to give us the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we celebrate and worship him on Palm Sunday as our king and our savior. I'm about to read our sermon text today. I'll read it from the pulpit in just a few minutes, and you're going to hear about some children who were singing praises to Jesus when he came in on Palm Sunday. They said words like, Hosanna! They said, praise the King of David, the Son of David. He's the King, the Savior. We don't often hear about children in the Bible, do we? But there are children in the Bible. And when we think about teaching, we usually think about being taught by maybe our parents. Maybe you think about being taught by your teacher at school. Maybe you think about being taught by your pastor. But do you think about being taught things by children? Do you think children can teach us things? What do you think? Yes or no? They can. And if you listen closely today, we're going to hear that children in our text taught us and taught some of the people who were talking to Jesus some very important things. So listen to that for today. What things can we learn from children? Okay. You can go back to your seats. Congregation, please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our King and our Savior, dear fellow redeemed. In our gospel reading for today from Matthew, we read Matthew's account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We're going to read the verses that immediately follow that text. And while Matthew, in his account, doesn't make it clear, when we read from the Gospel of Mark, it makes it clear that the events that we're about to read actually took place the day after Palm Sunday. But they definitely refer back to some of the events of Palm Sunday. So keep that in mind as we read this text from Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 17, events that took place on Monday of Holy Week. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all those who were selling and buying in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the experts of the law saw the wonders he performed and heard the children calling out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. They said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" "Yes," Jesus told them. "Have you never read? From the lips of little children and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A good number of years ago, when I was still a young pastor, I don't get to hear that very often anymore. No one calls me young pastor anymore. Back then, when I was a young pastor in the Houston area, my family was gathered at my house for our family Christmas break. And during that vacation, we went out for a hike in the nearby forest. And during the hike, I think I was reaching for something in the woods or something, but I caught my finger on some thorns and I cut my finger. It wasn't a real bad cut, but I'm sure I said, "Ouch," and it started bleeding a little bit. I pulled back my hand, kind of in surprise. And my little niece, who was with us, she was only about 4 at the time, she asked me what happened. And when I told her, I cut my finger, without hesitation, she quickly folded her hands and said with absolute certainty and conviction, "I will pray to Jesus that he helps you and heals your finger." At that point, I'd been a pastor for probably about almost the same amount of years as this little girl had been alive. And if you want to stack up the amount of Bible knowledge and religious instruction that I had compared to my little 4-year-old niece, well, it wasn't even close. And yet when I hurt my finger, who was the first one to think about praying to Jesus for healing? I honestly hadn't even thought of that. It hadn't even crossed my mind until she said it. Ironic, isn't it? We've been defining irony and reminding ourselves that irony is an outcome that is the opposite of what you might expect. We wouldn't expect a little child to teach a preacher of God's word a lesson about such a basic matter of faith, and yet that's exactly what happened. I still remember that event to this day, and that was probably going on 16, 17 years ago. My niece was a good example of what Jesus means when he says that we should have absolute trust in him, faith in him like a little child. Entering the kingdom of God like a little child, he says in Luke chapter 18. In fact, incidents like this one have happened not just in my life, but in the lives of many pastors, many teachers, many parents, and grandparents. It even happened in the incident we are looking at in our sermon text for this Palm Sunday. So today we'll be considering the irony in the question that Jesus' enemies asked him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" Well, what were these children saying? Our text says they were calling out in the temple the very thing that they had heard the crowds crying out the day before on Palm Sunday as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. No doubt the same words that many of those same children were crying out as they maybe themselves were waving palm branches and welcoming Jesus by laying down their cloaks. "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna is a word that means "save now, we pray." That's literally what it means. But it came to be used as a word of praise, much like we use that word today. And it was especially a word that was a welcoming cry for the promised Savior. It's a word that we often associate with Palm Sunday. In fact, I dare you to try and count how many times we read, sing, or say the word Hosanna today. Probably won't be able to count how many times we say it or sing it. And that title, Son of David, was a name for the promised Messiah, the one who was coming to set God's people free, free from their sins, free from death, free from hell itself. The Holy Spirit had obviously moved the hearts of these children to shout their declarations of faith to Jesus and their praises to him. Wonderful, miraculous words of praise, even from little children. That is not ironic. We expect God to work through His Word to change the hearts from the youngest of His lambs, the youngest of His children, to the very oldest. The irony in our text lay in the words of unbelief from the enemies of Jesus. Words from men who definitely should have known better. And so we read from our account, verses 15 through 16, where Matthew writes, "But when the chief priests and the experts in the law saw the wonders that he, Jesus, performed, and heard the children calling out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. They said to him, 'Do you hear what they are saying?'" Notice what Matthew writes there. He says that these men saw the wonders that Jesus had performed. They saw it. They saw it for themselves. And what were the wonders that Jesus had performed? Well, maybe we look back a day earlier to Palm Sunday. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, being hailed as the King and the Savior by people while He's riding a little donkey. Again, think of a grown man riding a little donkey into the city and being hailed as the Savior and the King. I think that would qualify as a wonder. And think of the events that happened earlier that very day, on that Monday of Holy Week. Jesus driving out all those who were selling and buying in the temple with the authority of the Son of God, because these people were turning God's temple, a house of prayer, into a den of robbers. I'd say that would qualify as a wonder. But look at what verse 14 says. It's a verse that we almost just skip right over as we read through this account of Palm Sunday and the day that followed. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't skip over those words of verse 14, because it says, "The blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them." That would definitely qualify as a wonder. And the fact that Jesus was, again, miraculously healing people right there in the temple should have made the chief priests and the experts in the law join in wonder with the children and shout their very own hosannas to the Son of David. These men, these chief priests, these experts in the law, they were, as they proclaimed themselves to be, the experts. They spent all their days reading the Bible. However, when these things happened, just like God had promised in the Old Testament that they had read many, many times for themselves, when the Savior finally came, they didn't recognize Him. They rejected Him. They were angry. The word indignant is used there in Matthew's text. They were indignant that these children and the crowds that were gathered there in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday were calling Jesus the Messiah. Children knew their Savior, while these educated theologians did not. How ironic, and how sad. Sadly, this is often still the case today. Some of the most intelligent, well-educated people, even those who claim to be Bible scholars, those who claim to be religious experts, don't really know who Jesus is, and don't believe that He's the Savior, sent to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life with Him through His suffering and death on the cross, and His resurrection from the dead. They scoff at simple, childlike faith in Jesus, and they reject it. They say, "That's foolish. That's simple-minded. That's a crutch for people who are too weak to think for themselves, or too weak to save themselves. People who need to believe in something to get through their life." Well, who are we going to listen to? The so-called experts, or to Jesus? Whose example would you like to follow from our text? The experts or the children? Do you hear what these children are saying? I pray that we do. It's kind of funny that the enemies of Jesus actually imagined that Jesus would be embarrassed enough by these words of the children to silence them, tell them to stop. But these men failed to understand who Jesus really was. They didn't understand or believe what He had really come to do. And so Jesus replies to them. He says, yes, he did hear what the children were saying, and he accepts their praise. And he quotes from the Old Testament. He says, have you never read, which they obviously had, they knew their Old Testament very well, from the lips of little children and nursing babies, you, speaking of God there, you have prepared praise. He did hear what the children were saying, and he approved of it. He accepted their praises. This is exactly what Jesus and God the Father wanted to happen. Jesus there is quoting from Psalm 8, verse 2. And most of the Jewish people of that day, including these experts and these chief priests, would have known and recognized that Psalm 8 is a prophecy about the coming Messiah, the Savior. And so when Jesus quotes it, it sent his enemies sputtering and fuming. This psalm is all about how the Son of God would leave his throne in heaven, his throne of glory, and visit his people, visit us here on this earth. And in that psalm, it taught that God's people, or God treasured the praises of children, because it came from their faith in that coming Savior that he would send. As you might know, earlier in his ministry, Jesus taught the people that only those who had faith like a little child would see the kingdom of heaven. And now here he's reminding them through the words of this psalm that they knew, they should have remembered, that this faith of a child brings forth praises from their heart to God. Faith like a child, praises from the heart of a child. Children take God at his word. Think of the example of my little niece. She just, oh, you're hurt. We pray to Jesus, he will heal you. She believed it. When parents, when Sunday school teachers, when Christian day school teachers and pastors teach children the words of God and teach them things like God hears and answers all of our prayers and we should go to him whenever we need help, children take those words and believe them. They accept them for what they say. They believe God and take him at his word. In doing so, they teach a lesson to each one of us about faith and trust in Jesus. So we who are maybe just a few years removed from being children, we who are adults or veteran adults, where do we get faith like little children? Well, there's only one place we get it. The same place that children get it. The gospel. The gospel comes to us in his word and in the sacraments, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper. The gospel is the message that our Savior came to die and rise for us, that we are forgiven in God's sight. From that gospel comes first a change in our hearts when God gives us that gift, that free gift of faith. And then every time we hear that gospel message, God renews and strengthens, builds on that faith. And through that gospel comes a change in our lives. And God, through the gospel, calls forth from our hearts of faith praise to him. We praise God when we trust him. We praise God when we turn to him in times of need and ask him to help us, even when it's just as small as a little cut on our finger. We praise God when we lift up our voice and sing to our Savior who has loved us, changed us, and made us his very own. We praise God when we serve him with our lives. So let's do that. Let's praise him in every way. Let's praise him because we are his. The beauty of this lesson for today is that Jesus reminds us that he himself is the source of our praise. He is the object of our praise as well. He ordains praise from his children, even from adults. Do you hear what these children are saying? Yes. Let's join them in their hosannas and our songs of praise. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, No Tramp of Soldiers' Marching Feet. Please rise. Are there any special prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, our gracious Savior and King, on that first Palm Sunday, you came in triumph to Jerusalem with people shouting their hosannas and little children singing your praise. But you did not come to reign over an earthly kingdom. You came in peace as the Prince of Peace, to lay down your life on Calvary's cross for the sins of the whole world. Through the sacrifice you made, God and sinners are now reconciled. Dear Savior and King, accept our humble thanks for giving the kingdom of heaven to us. O Lamb of God, who came to suffer and to die, come now as King into our hearts to rule. Come to stay. Rule us with your grace, forgiving all of our sins. With your love, change our lives so that we no longer serve sin, but only righteousness. Cleanse our hearts with the purifying fire of your word, and through the Holy Spirit, cleanse us from all sin, and give us faith and trust to confess you, and courage and strength to bear our crosses. Give us willing hearts to serve and follow you all the days of our lives. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may always confess and never deny your holy name, glorifying you constantly by the way we live our lives. Grant that all who make their confessions of faith to you would keep them until their life is over. May we and all who believe in you fight the good fight of faith and inherit the eternal life which was given to each one of us by your death and resurrection. May we who serve you here in faith always behold you in glory in the paradise, the heaven that God has prepared for us. Until that day, dear Savior, direct our prayers through your intercession to the heavenly throne where they are heard, because in you the Father is well pleased. Hear us, blessed Jesus, our Redeemer and King, and hear us now as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now, with believing hearts, the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Congregation may be seated. If you turn your bulletins to page 10, you'll see our last hymn is actually a hymn that will be sung by the choir and the congregation. The choir will be singing verses 1 and 2, and you see the words there printed. You can follow along with us and follow the words if you'd like. But we invite you then in verses 3 and 4 to sing along with the choir. Our choir director will turn to you in verse 3 to let you know that's when it's your turn to sing. We invite the choir now to come forward for our final hymn, The King of Glory.
King of people from
Good morning. A blessed Palm Sunday to all of you. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. And we invite you to sign our guest registry in the entryway. We invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. And a warm welcome also to our fellowship, to Gary. I'm going to invite you to greet people with me as we leave church today. So you'll walk out with me as we leave the service. I forgot to tell you that before church. So hope that's not springing it on you at the last second. But you get to shake some hands today, Gary. After the service, we'll be having a reception in Gary's honor in the fellowship hall. There's going to be some refreshments served, so please join us for that. Following the reception, the Women's Auxiliary will be having their meeting today. This week is, of course, Holy Week. Palm Sunday kicks off a very important week. It is a very full and blessed week for us here at St. Stephen. Tuesday, we have our Board of Education meeting. That will be held via Zoom at 6 p.m. Wednesday, our church council and elders will meet at 7 p.m. That will again be via Zoom. On Thursday, which is Maundy Thursday, the night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, we'll be having our worship service in Stockton at Oakmont Senior Living at 2 p.m. and then at the Forever Easter House in Sacramento. That's at 4:30. We'll have our Good Friday worship service here with communion. So as is our tradition here, we usually have a Good Friday service with also communion served in commemoration of Maundy Thursday. The first service on Friday will be in Hayward at our sister congregation at 1 p.m., and then our service here in Mountain View on Good Friday will be at 7 p.m., so please join us for that. Saturday, we'll be doing some Easter decorating and setting up for the service. Saturday will be at 10 a.m., we'll do the decorating. Sunday, Easter service is at 10 a.m. There is no Bible class, just the worship service at 10. That's both of our congregations will be meeting here for Easter service, and then afterwards, we'll have our children's Easter egg hunt and our Easter brunch. If you'd like to sign up to bring some things to pass, there is a sign-up sheet in the entryway. You're invited to sign up there. Please come and join us for both the service and the Easter brunch. I believe those are, one more announcement. Choir, please do come a little early, 6:30 on Good Friday, so we can run through our song for Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday, if you could please arrive at 9:30, we'll run through our song for Easter Sunday that day as well. Any other announcements for today? Oh, Barb, yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes. If you didn't know what Sunday it was when you came to church, you certainly knew when you walked in. There was palms everywhere. So we'd like to thank Mark Gullerud for cutting all the palms from their yard. These are actual live palms from their backyard. And thanks to my wife, Jules, for doing all the decorating. She always does such a nice job on Palm Sunday. And every Palm Sunday, I say, this is the best one you've ever done. And I said that again last night, and I meant it. She does a really great job of giving it the Palm Sunday feel, and there's even decorations and palms in the fellowship hall when we're in there for the reception. So thank you to both of you for your efforts on Palm Sunday as well. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.